There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Your weekend home for all things sport.
This is The Grill on DubaiEye 103.8.
Live from Barasti.
Here's Tom Urquhart.
Second hour of the show, we're broadcasting live from Barasti, where the game is always on. Talk about game on as well. Good crowd down at Barasti for the Premier League action. We're going to keep and monitored on all of the different screens down here, let you know the goals as and when they go in. Looks like the VAR has been called into action early over in the Everton game, so we'll keep an eye on that particular game for you as the referee is seeking a VAR approval for a possible penalties. Wave that one away, so nothing doing there. Mark Archer's watching Chelsea against Burnley for us.
Yeah, 6 minutes gone at Stamford Bridge. It's Chelsea 0, Burnley 0. It's a half chance early in the match for Chelsea, but William Butt blasted well over the Burnley goal. So 0-0 here, 6 minutes gone at Stamford Bridge.
Let's get back to some of the talkers of the first. A lot of people texting in with their suggestions for those that played the game over 40. Why are we asking this one? Because two luminaries the world of sport coming out this week saying they're going to play not just after 40 but until 45. Chris Gayle and Tom Brady both saying 45 was their mark. I mean, it reminds me of Cristiano Ronaldo. He said a couple of years ago that he wanted to play till he was 41, didn't he, and would stay at Real Madrid until then and retire from Real Madrid. That didn't come true, does it?
Zlatan Ibrahimovic is 38 years old, and he signed just a nice lucrative deal in the Italian league, so I could see him playing till he's 40 as well. He seems like he's a man that is going to be forced off the football pitch.
And he is looking a lot healthier than his statue these days as well.
Okay, looks like we've got the first goal of the afternoon. We're going to keep an eye on this one for you. Looks like it's come at Newcastle. The Toon fans are up on their feet. We'll get a goal scorer for you, but the goal will stand. So Newcastle opening up the scoring this afternoon with the first goal of the afternoon. We'll give you more details on that one as soon as we get them. In the meantime, though, we're talking about all of the those that are played to 40 and more. Here comes that Newcastle goal against Wolves. So Newcastle in the first 5 minutes, lovely play from Newcastle down the left-hand side, ball played into the penalty area, and it is goal for Newcastle. Newcastle lead Wolves at Wolves by 1-0. We'll get goal scorers for you in a few moments' time. Ryan Giggs, a lot of suggestions coming through.
Yes, he was a man that kept himself very fit through yoga and all sorts of extracurricular activities. So, yeah, Ryan Giggs was a man that did play long, had a long career, didn't he?
Michael Schumacher, also somebody, 42 when he retired. Neville Southall was 43 when he played in the FA Cup final. Thank you very much indeed for that. And thanks also to these suggestions coming through. Standard liver is fine for Gayle, but as you age, the reflexes slow down a touch. Not sure about Gayle continuing till 45. Same happened with Virender Sehwag when he was on the wrong side of the 30, so easier said than done. That's from Himadri today. Thanks, Himadri.
Yeah, just give you the goal update from Wolves. And I can tell you that Newcastle have struck first. It's the first goal of this of the later kickoffs here in the Premier League. Almiron, Miguel Almiron has scored. It was assist by Gayle. So after 7 minutes, it's Wolverhampton Wanderers 0, Newcastle 1.
Thank you very much indeed for that one. So we're going to keep an eye on the scorers for you. Miguel Almiron, the man on the scoreboard first this afternoon for the Premier League. And it is Newcastle leading Wolves at Wolves by 1-0. It's the only goal to report as yet. However, there is plenty more going on. Chris McCarty is stuck in, would you believe it, traffic at the moment. And again, a quick warning to all of you. The sun has set, night has descended. We are expecting more rain. Let's go to our resident weatherman now. We're told that rain could fall around about midnight tonight. Is that about right?
Yeah, that's right. Between the hours of 12 and 2 o'clock, it's going to go down to around 16 degrees, and we have a 51% chance of some rain. So bring out the old rain gear, because it might be a little wet out there on the roads, Dubai, but stay safe and keep checking the KHDA school alerts to see if your child child will be in school tomorrow.
Recommendations from Dubai airports for you to check with them in advance. Why? Flooding at the airport, flooding on the runways, delays and cancellations down at Dubai airport at the moment, and could well continue into the evening as well. So if you are getting a flight in the next 12 hours or so, with more rain forecast throughout the evening tonight adding to those problems, best to check in advance how your flight status is. Also getting updates from the RTA as well. If you haven't downloaded the RTA Instagram page, if you haven't downloaded the RTA Twitter feed, then do now. They're giving you regular updates throughout the evening as to road closures as they try and clear the ways out there at the moment. Chris McCarty making his way down from the Sevens Stadium out there on the Al Ain Road.
That's right, the Dubai Al Ain Road, Route 66.
Yes. The Sevens Stadium, the host of the Emirates Airline Dubai Rugby Sevens, amongst other venues and other events throughout the year. That's where Rangers have been playing Lokomotiv Tashkent today. Chris McCarty's been down there. Great crowds he's been posting. Check out his social media to see some of the atmosphere down there. But he also caught up with our man, Dale Gordon. You caught up with him yesterday, didn't you?
I had a bit of a different encounter with Dale Gordon. I was out for Dale Gordon's birthday party at the fine establishment, STK, in the Rixos in JBR. And Dale was very, very happy that the Rangers are out here and the soccer schools and the camps that he's going to be doing with them. So it's good that Flash Gordon's out there in full force and doing a lot for the sporting community out here in Dubai.
We've had thunder, we've had lightning, we've had torrential rain. We need a bit of flash, don't we, really, just to bring a little bit of sensibility to the situation. Chris McCarty got 5 minutes with the superstar. This is what he had to say.
Down here, Seven Stadium, Rangers 6, Tashkent 1, Dale Gordon alongside me. Obviously, we know Dale very well, regular listeners of the show. Dale, it's been a special week for you, your former club over here, and DG Pro heavily involved.
Absolutely, yeah. As you well know, Chris, we went back to Scotland last year and Glasgow Rangers hosted their 12-day camp for us. And it was only right that, obviously, the first team being over in Dubai for their winter break, that we coincided that with obviously having a Rangers camp associated with DG Pro, alongside DG Pro. And it's been an unbelievable response from all the players. They've loved every single minute. And the last couple of days, apart from obviously the training for 3 days, the boys had competitive matches as well, wearing the Rangers, the blue and white of Rangers. And then the last couple of days, as you well know, we've enjoyed a trip to Nad Al Sheba Sports Complex, witnessed the first team training. They met all the players, got all the items signed. And then obviously today, the under-10s were ball boys for the match, and then obviously playing on the pitch at half-time. But what was a really, really lovely touch as well was that obviously they were mascots as well, so they walked both teams out. Incredible, incredible week. It really has been an unbelievable week.
Rangers Football Club is a special club. Anyone that hails from Scotland, whether you support Rangers or not, they are a footballing institution. We know that, Dale. In terms of the camaraderie, in terms of the relationship that you've built with that football club, how important is that for kids over here in the United Arab Emirates to see and to feel and to touch in many ways that level of football club?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that I think Eric, our club captain, had done an interview on Rangers TV, and he said that we're very lucky that we play for DG Pro, but also as well that Dale can bring the professional coaches over to the UAE. And not only that, obviously from last year us going to Scotland, and the two coaches that came over to Dubai and obviously coached the boys this week, they can see the progress as well. And we're in talks with Glasgow Rangers at the moment, because there's maybe three or four of our boys will be going back to Glasgow for a trial as well. And that is basically, that's everything what we're doing. If we can get one boy into their academy system when he gets to about 16, then we feel like we've done our job. So yeah, it's a special time for DG Pro, but also as well, our partnership with Glasgow Rangers is getting stronger and stronger and stronger.
That's going to be my next question. What are Glasgow Rangers Football Club saying to you in terms of the talent over here? We talk about pathways an awful lot, about getting young kids here, obviously doing wonders, working with the likes of yourself and others around town. How important is it that they see the pathway? And how important is it that clubs like Glasgow Rangers are over here and seeing the talent that we have in our midst?
Well, you don't have to. I mean, Glasgow Rangers is worldwide, isn't it? I mean, the support they get. I mean, today's game, amazing. I think it must be 3,500, 4,000 supporters here. And I know also as well that some of the supporters have actually flown over to the from Glasgow to Dubai specifically for this match. And as you well know, they travel all around the world with them, you know, in Europe as well. So yeah, absolutely. I think Glasgow Rangers as a brand, it's the first time they've been to Dubai. And we know that obviously Steven Gerrard with his links with Liverpool, and he came here with Liverpool, and obviously bringing the first team over to enjoy a winter camp. I think they brought the Glasgow weather as well. it's fantastic, you know, not just, you know, for us, but for the UAE to have pro teams come over, yeah, and use the facilities which are second. You know, I mean, they're unbelievable, aren't they? I mean, you know, where they've trained at NAS over the last sort of like 3 or 4 days. And we're here at the Seven Stadium this afternoon, witnessed a 6-1 win, you know, and, you know, as you well know, you were there watching them train. The intensity that they train at as well, you know, there's no holding back. And I think that's one of the reasons why Steven Gerrard's got them ticking in the right, going in the right direction, because since he's been to the football club, their levels have gone up 30-40%, and you can see that as well. And they're just connecting with the community as well, Chris. You know, our boys going down to there, you know how tight it is to actually security to get into these places, but they've embraced it. You know, they've open arms. You know, and every single player he was signing things for all our players yesterday, and it's just fantastic. And even after the game as well, Steven Gerrard taking time to have selfies with some of our players. Brilliant.
Absolutely brilliant. Last one from Dale, and this goes back, moving away from DG Pro, from what you've seen of Rangers, from, I know you've been talking to Steve and you've been talking to Gary, is this the year that Rangers win number 55 and stop Celtic from that 9 in a row?
Well, yeah, I know. It would be nice. I mean, I was lucky enough to play in the third and the fourth titles, and we had a team which was great team spirit, togetherness, a manager of Walter Smith and Archie Knox, who, you know, it was a privilege to play for them too, and the respect that you gave their managers. And likewise, obviously, with Steven Gerrard and Gary Mack, you know, they've got something really, really good going at the moment. I'm just fingers crossed that they do get over the line. The disappointment, obviously, of the cup final after playing so, so well, and just obviously losing that 1-0. But to get the revenge, obviously, which is the first time, I think, is it 9 years? Went back to Celtic Park and got an unbelievable win, and then set themselves up for a trip over to Dubai. So, yes, let's keep our fingers crossed. Let's keep everything crossed, and hopefully it'll be Rangers year.
DG Pro, grown from strength to strength. What a week it's been for you, Dio. What a week it's been for the kids as well. Congratulations. More power to you, Dale.
Yeah, top man. Thanks, Chris.
Right, there's been a few goals. We need to catch up with all of the action now. First and foremost, there is a VAR decision, no goal in the Chelsea-Burnley goal. Mark Archer?
Yeah, 20 minutes gone at Stamford Bridge, and there was Burnley did get the ball in the back of the net from a free kick, but there was a VAR decision on an offside position, and that has been ruled out. So it's Chelsea 0, Burnley 0, but there's action in plenty of the other matches.
Yeah, let's get down to Wolves if we can. Yeah, Wolves against Newcastle.
Yeah, Newcastle took the early lead through Almiron, went 1-0 up, but Leander Dendonca has struck back with the equaliser. It was a volley from a corner, and that means after 20 minutes gone at Molineux, it's Wolves 1, Newcastle 1.
Let's get over to Leicester City now. You can bring us news of the first goal, I'll bring you news of the second.
Yeah, it's the first goal for Leicester City from the Belgium striker, Dennis Praet, has struck in. It was Vardy with the assist. It was across from the left-hand side, and Praet snuck in at the far post, got the ball in the back of the net, and meant that Leicester led Southampton 1-0. But I believe there's been more action in this match,
Tom. They have. Southampton biting back straight away after that one. Armstrong down the right with the equaliser. It's 1-1. Leicester against Southampton. Let's bring you some team news from that game now, if we can, because manager Brendan Rodgers has made two changes to the sides, which were held by Aston Villa in their Carabao Cup clash last time out. A couple of changes that have started to reap a few results already today. So we're going to keep an eye on this one for you in just a few moments. Before we give you the team lineup, let's now turn our attention to Brendan Rodgers, the Leicester manager. He's been praising his opposite number, Ralph Hasenhüttl, a little earlier on today, saying that Ralph has done the job that he was brought in to do.
I said to the players last week that I felt that our two games that were coming up, two league games in both in Newcastle and Southampton, were going to be, could be two of our toughest games for the remainder of the season because of the nature of our results that we've had. And I think the Newcastle game, we dealt with that very, very well. And now we go in and to play Southampton. And in fairness to them, obviously that was a tough evening for them, and then obviously had a few results after that that didn't quite go their way. But from that point, I think firstly the manager has showed his resilience and his qualities, because it's a tough period for a manager. I text Ralph after our game, because unless you've been a manager, you don't really understand the feeling of another manager, and especially in that situation. But how he's bounced back and been able to galvanise the group again, and in current form in the last eight games or so, they're up there in the top four in terms of form. So that shows you that it's going to be a really, really tough game for us. But of course, we've had that performance there. We played very, very well. And now it's a chance again for us to show our quality, show our stamina in the game, and to keep up our level of performance, which over the season has been fantastic.
Leicester manager Brendan Rodgers, who's done such an amazing job with Leicester. He's made two changes to the side, which were hailed by Aston Villa in their Carabao Cup semi-final first leg in midweek. Hamza Chowdhury and Harvey Barnes both starting for the Foxes today. They come in for Yuri Tielemans, who's named on the bench. Christian Fuchs, who's dropped out of the squad completely for this one. The division's leading scorer, Jamie Vardy, leading the line, having missed their last two league games, as does Ayoze Perez, who's bagged hat-tricks in his past two Premier League matches against the Saints. So Vardy and Perez both on the field at the moment. However, it was Pryatt, the goal scorer for Leicester, a goal which has since been equalled out because Southampton have struck back through Armstrong. Let's get Ralph starting 11.
Yeah, Ralph Hasenhüttl has named just one change from the side that beat Tottenham last time out in the Premier League, which is Shane Long coming into the one of the forward roles there. McCarthy in goal. It's a back four of Bertrand, Benarac, Stevens and Cedric Soares across the back four. Midfield of Redmond, Hoiberg, Ward-Prowse and Armstrong, the goal scorer. And up front, Danny Ings has been in wonderful form this season. Will he move somewhere in January with a few teams looking at his as an option up front? And of course, that man Shane Long completes the starting lineup.
Ralf Hasenhüttl is not resting on his laurels. Yeah, he's had some great results in the last couple of weeks. They've been one of the form teams of the Premier League. However, he knows that in January he has to buy, and he is looking for... who's he looking for? Well, he's really looking for a fullback at the moment.
We are in the market and we are looking for especially fullbacks because we know that we have there not that many options in the moment. I was happy that Jake Wilkins played on the left side in the Cup, but still he's a young player who has to learn a lot. So we have Ryan, not really an alternative for him. And this is a position where we... Also, with the longer missing of Jan Valerie on the right side, we have not really a lot of alternatives. So this would be definitely a position where we do something in the winter break.
Reports that you might be interested in the likes of Carl Walker-Peters, is that right? Can you see him coming here?
We have a few guys there. There are a few guys available. It can also be a loan option until the summer, and I don't want to comment any names, but you can be sure that we have a whole list of what is interesting for us.
Only other game we haven't brought you team news from is the one that currently stands 1-1. We haven't been starved of goals in the opening 20 minutes of action today, that's for sure. Plenty of goals going in, and we'll keep an eye on all of them for you, plus of course the international goals. International in terms of other leagues across Europe in just a few moments time. But Wolves Newcastle 1-1 at the moment. Nuno Espirito Santo has made just the solitary showing, one change to the Wolves side that lost 2-1 at Watford in their last Premier League outing back on January the 1st. Ruben Neves coming into midfield with the defender Ryan Bennett also dropping to the bench. So you've still got Patricio in goal, back three of Sace Cody and Dendonka, the goal scorer a little earlier on. Neves and Moutinho playing just advanced of them. Johnny down the left, Doherty down the right. Adam Traore, who's been in such great form for Wolves, will go down just advanced of that. Nato alongside then, Raul Jimenez leading the line. Nuno Espirito Santo is saying, he's been talking about not so much the players that he's looking to bring in, more those that are leaving. One of them was, of course, Crotone, who he brought in at the beginning of the season. Being really honest about this one, basically saying that it didn't work out.
Yeah, he's going. He's going. He went before. He returned to, I think, Wednesday. He was here. Some details were not totally clear. But now he went. He went away to Fiorentina on a loan situation.
Are you disappointed for him that he wasn't able to maybe do as well as he would have liked here?
Of course. Disappointed with us, with all the situation. When you bring a player and things don't immediately work out, you have to think and what happened, why, how, could it be different, all these things. But now is the moment that we analyze. But more important is to wish Patrick all the best and hopefully can play and some game time is important for him as a developer.
And how close are you maybe to bringing in players at the moment, do you think?
We are working on that. We have the need and we are working on that.
Okay, a couple of goals to bring you up to date with. Let's start first down at Stamford Bridge. Chelsea against Burnley. Mark Archer.
Yeah, it's been a penalty to Chelsea. He's got the scoring underway. Jorginho has slotted the ball to the left-hand corner of the Burnley goal. It was a penalty taken very clinically by Jorginho, and it means that Chelsea now lead Burnley after 27 minutes. 1-0. There's also goals at Old Trafford, Tom.
Old Trafford, indeed. Juan Mata, the creator of this goal. Marcus Rashford, the scorer. Juan Mata, lovely little cross here with the left foot. Cross right into the far corner. Nice little touch there from Marcus Rashford to finish things off. Manchester United taking the lead against Norwich up at Old Trafford. Chelsea in the lead against Burnley at the moment. We talked about Wolves and what Nuno Espirito Santo has gone for. What about Stevie Bruce? He's made a few changes. You can have this one, Arch.
Yeah, Newcastle boss Steve Bruce made 5 changes to the team that started the 3-0 defeat at Leicester in their last Premier League game on the 1st of January. I can tell you that Dubravka's in goal. It's a back three of Clark, Fernandes, and Dummett. And the midfield of Williams on the left, the Longstaff brothers Matt and Sean are in the middle of midfield, Hayden on the right-hand side of midfield, Jolinton up front on the left-hand side will be Gale, and then the goal scorer in this match already, Miguel Amiron, will take place on the right. So that's the Newcastle starting 11.
Good on you, fella. Thank you very much indeed for that. Let's hear from Steve Bruce now. He knows that January is going to be difficult for him. In fact, he thinks it's going to be not just difficult for him and Newcastle, but for all the clubs, saying it is a difficult window.
I've said from day one that January is always going to be difficult, and I haven't changed on it, that we have to have people who are going to come and improve us. And that's difficult to find at this particular moment. So if there's something available and we can act and there's a deal to be done, then we'll try and do it. Simple as that.
Yeah, we've seen it across the board, really. All the teams, nobody really bringing anyone in already.
I think everybody finds, look, there's been one or two sensational transfers over the years. Van Dijk was a January sale, I believe. There's been some sensational ones, but usually teams don't want to sell their best players. They're either fighting for one end or fighting at the other end, so it's a difficult market, you know, and what you end up doing is looking at people who's fallen out with somebody and that's not usually a good thing either.
Currently 1-1 in that game. Goals flying in left, right and centre around the Premier League, as they are over in Europe as well. Let's get down to, in fact, let's just give you an update on what's happening in the Premier League. 29 minutes, we've got, coming up to the half an hour mark now. Mark Archer can bring us up to date with 15 minutes remaining in the first half.
Yeah, let's start with the early kickoff at Selhurst Park today. Crystal Palace 1, Arsenal 1. Goal scorer for Arsenal, get things underway, was the Gabon striker Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang. He scored the first goal but also was sent off into the second half, which means that Arsenal had to play the last 25 minutes down to 10 men. Jordan Ayew with the equaliser for Crystal Palace after 54 minutes. So Crystal Palace began the day in ninth place. Arsenal began the day in 10th place, and that's how they remain after the 1-1 draw at Selhurst Park. Results going around the grounds, I can tell you that Chelsea lead Burnley 1-0. Everton, Brighton, still 0-0. Leicester are drawing with Southampton, 1-1. Manchester United lead at home at Old Trafford against Norwich, 1-0. Marcus Rashford, the goal scorer. And at Molineux Park, it's Wolverhampton Wanderers 1, Newcastle United 1.
What about this for a storyline coming out of Italian Serie A? Cagliari taking on the mighty AC Milan, who've been in such scintillating form since the beginning of the season. They've bought well, they've also developed well as well. And who would have guessed it? Who's on the scorecard for AC Milan? They lead 2-0 against Cagliari, 73 minutes on the clock there. Ibrahimovic scoring after 64 minutes. There's then nothing can stop that man. You've got a big grin on your face.
Oh, you got to love him, don't you? He goes everywhere. He makes an impact. He scores goals. He's just box office. And as I said earlier, he's faring a lot better than his statue is in Malmo these days.
They need his help right now in Milan as well. They haven't been playing that well. They're sitting mid-table. I think they were 10th when he came on in there. So comes on in, 64th minute, bangs in a goal. Good for the former LA Galaxy striker in his 38th year on planet Earth.
And what's even more interesting about this one is the fact that the other man, the man who scored the first goal on 46 minutes, De Consorcio Leao, Rafael De Consorcio Leao, is making his debut for AC Milan today. Just 18 years old, like respected of the youngster. He was only told last night.
I didn't know before the game. I go to the dressing room, he tell me, oh, you go to 11. I stay like, whoa, first derby. Great match for me, and I did a good game. I show my skills of what I can do, and the other part we can win. But good atmosphere, good atmosphere, good stadium, and for me it's a very good thing to play this match. Yeah, I know. When I come here, I receive a lot of messages from the supporters. When I come in San Siro, everybody wants to help me, the supporters, my friends, my teammates. And when I come in the pitch, I try to help my teams, try to assist, I try to score and do my best, yeah. I'm very happy to be here. When I leave maybe 5 minutes to center, it's very good for me. Go to Duomo and to eat the pasta. I like the pasta carbonara, bolognese. I like a lot. For me, it's very good adaptation to me. I like too much Paquetá. He speak the same language as me, and I like him like a football because I think he have a great potential and maybe he can give a lot of things for Milan. Very, very bad match for us. We, after the match, we go to the dressing room. Always said the head and down, but it's football. We want to react, and we react to the next game on Saturday to show everybody what we can do. When he comes here, he start talking to me to explain some things because he have a lot of experience. He's a great footballer, and for me, it's a very good thing. He comes to Milan to help me to be better and better. Finish, how to pass the defenders, all the things what he told me, I want to put in the pitch, in the training. We're training together. He speak all the time with me. So for me, that's it. I'm proud and I tried to learn everything what he told me. Yes, we already the 11 the coach shows they ready to win. We want to win. We are Milan. We play to win. Sometimes I finish the training, I arrive at home and stay in sofa like, wow, I'm in Milan. Yeah. I come here like I'm 20 and come here like young. I'm very proud to come here. Come to Champions League because AC Milan deserves this.
Unbelievable goal!
This is The Grill, live from Barasti, where the game is always on.
Talking about the football, obviously, with the Premier League in full flow at the moment. No other goals to report as yet, but as they go in, we will report. We've got your US sport wrap coming your way in a few moments' time. As I say that, goal goes in over at Everton and Chelsea as well. So let's hit the goal buttons. Let's get down to Stamford Bridge straight away. Burnley just had a great opportunity a few moments ago with the ball bobbling around on the goal line, but it is Chelsea who've gone back down the other end. Mark Archer?
Yeah, it's Chelsea 2, Burnley 0. The second goal scored by the striker, Tammy Abraham. He's having a great season in the Premier League, and he has doubled the lead for Chelsea at Stamford Bridge. Early goal was a penalty to Jorginho. It was a trip on William, who burst into the pitch, into the box up the left-hand side. He was fouled, brought over. The Brazilian Jorginho converted it to go 1-0 up, and Tammy Abraham now has doubled the lead at Stamford Bridge. Chelsea 2, Burnley 0.
Carlo Ancelotti's punching the air with delight as well. Why? Because Everton have just scored. Richarlison curling one in with the right boot into the far corner. Everton have taken the lead in their game as well. Richarlison on the scoreboard. So goals flying in. We'll keep an eye on those. Just give a heads up what we're going to be talking about in just a little while. We're going to talk all things American sport. What are you going to be doing for us, Mr. Ross Christ?
Take a little peek at the NFL playoffs, NBA action. Kevin Durant getting into a feud with former player Kendrick Perkins. We'll look at that. Some of the NHL scores as well. And we'll take a look ahead to next week's UFC fight, where Conor McGregor will head back into the octagon and go against Cowboy Cerrone.
Before we do that, I just want to break away to talk about a very significant moment in sport, which is taking place this time next weekend. It is going to be a first in many ways, as the Sport of Kings comes to the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. Where better place for the Sport of Kings to be played? For the first ever Alula Desert Polo tournament being held in the historic Alula Desert Polo Resort. The first official polo tournament to be ever held in the kingdom's history, an event hosted as part of the spectacular Winter Tantura Festival. Now, this is a dream that is going to come to reality next weekend. As I mentioned, several days of world-class polo action in one of the most historic spots of the region, the Al Ula part of Saudi Arabia. It's also the realization of a long-term dream and ambition for one man, with the support of his federation, his country, and of course his leaders. A man who's played under the Saudi Arabian flag around the globe. He's been a real ambassador for Saudi Arabian polo. I talk, of course, of the chairman of the Saudi Polo Federation, Amer Zidane, who in fact joins us live on the line now from Saudi Arabia. Amer, absolute pleasure to have you join us live here on the grill, on the radio, here in Dubai. And first and foremost, from me, a man who's had the privilege of meeting you so many times, congratulations on getting your ambition of a polo tournament in Saudi Arabia realized. How does it feel?
Good evening. Thanks for having me. Well, it feels great, to say the least, the launch of the sport here in Saudi Arabia. As you've mentioned, the sport, the Saudi Polo Federation, is a young governmental body that's just been formed over a little over a year ago. I've been honored to have been appointed as chair. Our role is to promote, regulate, and develop the sport in Saudi Arabia. So the Winter Tantura, being a part of the Winter Tantura and having the first ever desert polo match alongside with La Dolfina, the best team in the world, coming in, says a lot. It's the first time this game is played at this level in Saudi Arabia, albeit in a desert format. However, it just raises awareness and it announces the beginning of polo in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, and more to come.
That was going to be my next question to you, Amer, in terms of what's in the pipelines. Obviously, a lot of talk about this particular event with the players you've got coming over, with the venue, with the surroundings as well. But in terms of the potential for growth of polo in Saudi Arabia, is it something you can quantify?
Well, yes and no. In terms of scale, you could see what we have in Dubai, and I'm very active in the Dubai polo circuit. You can multiply that by 10 at least. Simply the demographics and the young Saudi spectators who are very keen on entering into the support and the sport and the equestrian angle that's attached to it. I'm pleased to announce that we're also looking at building a full-scale facility in terms of a polo and equestrian facility in Riyadh to start with, and then we're looking at copying are mimicking whatever we build in Riyadh and Jeddah and the Eastern Province. I would say Eastern Province Phase 2, Riyadh Phase 1. I think we can start with about 4 fields. And it's one of those things, build it and they shall come. The Saudi youth, boys and girls, are very, 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 very motivated when it comes to sports. I'd say polo is a natural progression from soccer, which is played quite widely. But having the facilities established and the venue for kids, young and older boys and girls, I think we'll see a massive turnout, inshallah.
Amma, thanks for joining us on the show. It's been a very exciting time in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia in the sporting scene in the last 1 to 2 years. Formula E, we've seen world heavyweight boxing, we've got the richest horse race in the world coming, and of course, what you're doing with a polo is absolutely amazing. Just want to get your thoughts on the sports ecosystem in the Kingdom and how quickly it's growing, and also just talk about the amazing destination that you're having, the Desert Polo at Aula, a World Heritage site. Just get your two takes on those two subjects.
Yeah, well, it all pulls in this, and the narrative of Vision 2030 by His Highness the Crown Prince, where we're pulling all the resources to develop every sector possible, and that includes sports. We have the General Sports Authority, which is the regulator, and its mandate is to develop all aspects of sport and all arenas necessary to develop the various independent initiatives to pull through announcing the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, the new vision, and bringing in involvement both nationally and internationally. Going back to Al-Ula is virgin territory in terms of having its discoveries. It's pretty much the Petra of Jordan, however, in Saudi Arabia, and they're mirror images of each other. You have Hegra, you have Al-Ula, Lost City. It is just a tremendous site to visit. I was there last weekend inspecting the site, and I was blown away at the scale and the massive untapped potential there. So we hope that with polo, with sports, we can assist in putting Al-Ula on the map from that perspective, and we hope this will be a first-time event of more to come there, inshallah.
You mentioned that it is part of the Winter at Tantura Festival, which has been such a huge success in recent weeks down in Saudi Arabia. You talk about the spectacle there, Amma, of the venue itself, also the spectacle of the polo you promise. You have attracted some of, if not the biggest names in polo, throwing their support behind this inaugural event.
Mm-hmm, that's very true. We were fortunate to have the champions of the Argentine Open, La Dolfina polo team, most of which I have privilege of calling friends. You have Adolfo Cambiasso, I guess the best that has ever played the game. Pablo McDonough, who has played for Zidane polo team in Dubai for 4 seasons. Belon Sterling has also played for Zidane polo a season. And Juan Martín Nero. So we have the best in the world coming into Saudi Arabia and announcing the launch of polo in the kingdom.
And polo is traditionally played on, obviously, a grass turf field, but this is going to be played in the desert. Are you improvising any rules? Are you going to change, obviously, the conditions? How's the polo actually format going to change for this desert polo event?
Well, the perfect analogy would be the beach polo, and that Dubai has been witnessing over the past 15 years. So it's the same format, with the exception of we're compacting the ground, the sand, and we're making it as much as possible, as close as possible to the turf, albeit it's definitely different still. So if you look at the events that took place in Dubai in terms of beach polo, if you look at the snow polo in San Moritz, it's pretty much a mishmash of both, designed particularly to suit Al-Ula's topography, with an amazing backdrop of the stones and the mountains that really surround Al-Ula and gives it that feel, that desert feel.
All the details on the Winter at Tantura Festival website. It is desert polo in Saudi Arabia for the very first time. Thanks in no small part to the efforts of the man that we've had on as our guest. Huge thanks, Amma, for joining us live on the line. I know it's a busy time for you. We look forward to catching up with you next week down in the kingdom. But for now, from all your friends here in Dubai, thank you.
Thank you very much. Looking forward to seeing you. Thank you.
Amr Zidane there, the chairman of the Saudi Polo Federation, who, along with the team and all of the invested parties, have worked to bring polo to the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia for the very first time. It promises to be a true spectacle. We take a short break. When we get back, we're off to the States.
You're listening to The Grill. More of the biggest sports stories now
on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Half-time whistles being blown in the Premier League. An opportunity for us to catch our breath for a moment and try and paint a picture for you as to what's going on. Mark Archer's having a look at some of those half-time scores.
Yeah, half-time scores in five Premier League matches from the UK. Half-time at Stamford Bridge, Chelsea 2, Burnley 0. At Goodison, Everton lead Brighton 1-0. At Leicester, they are all square with Southampton 1-1. At Old Trafford, Manchester United lead Norwich 1-0. And at Molineux Park, Wolverhampton Wanderers 1, Newcastle United 1. Result from earlier today at Selhurst Park, Crystal Palace shared honours with Arsenal 1-1.
AC Milan are going to beat Cagliari in the opener in the Italian Serie A. Lazio Napoli is off at 9 o'clock this evening. Goals for the young debutant, Rafael Leao, and the not-so-young debutant, that man, Zlatan Ibrahimovic, scoring for AC Milan in their game there. There are goals, games being played in the Spanish Copa del Rey at the moment. We'll have a look at those in due course. Just having a look through the Championship, a couple of notable goals going in the Championship. Barnsley lead Huddersfield by 1-0. Blackburn and Preston are locked at 1-1. Charlton and West Brom, same goal, same scoreline down there, 1-1 between those. Fulham lead Hull by 1-0 at half-time up at Hull. Leeds and Sheffield Wednesday, no goals at half-time, 0-0 there in that game. Birmingham leading Luton by 1-0 at half-time at Luton. Derby, same scoreline, but Middlesbrough are leading Derby by that one solitary goal. Then no goals at Reading Forest, Stoke Millwall and Wigan against Bristol. Enough of the football, let's get over. Well, in fact, let's stick with the football, but American style.
Yeah, let's head over to the NFL. And before we take a look at this week's matchups, we'll look at the coaching carousel because there's a lot of coaches now who are picking up some new jobs as a lot of coaches just got fired at the end of the regular seasons. The New York Giants took the wide receiver coach from the New England Patriots, Joe Judge. So he's going to be heading from Foxborough to the Big Apple to take over an Eli Manning-less Giants team. It'll be interesting to see what he can bring from his coaching pedigree coming from Nick Saban in Alabama and Bill Belichick up there in New England. Mike McCarthy, who coached the Packers to their Super Bowl, was hired by Jerry Jones in the Cowboys. So he's heading to the Big D out there in Dallas. He's going to hope that he can get Dak Prescott and company into the postseason. Ron Rivera, who was recently fired by the Carolina Panthers, was quickly snagged by the Washington Redskins. So he's heading to the nation's capital, Ron Rivera, hoping he can bring some luck to Dan Snyder's Washington Redskins. And Matt Rhule making the jump from college to the NFL. He leaves the Baylor program in a better shape than when he picked it up, turning a Baylor program all the way around. So he's hoping his 7-year, $60 million contract will bring some life to the Carolina Panthers under their new ownership. One man who interviewed for the job out there in Dallas and did not get it was former Cincinnati Bengals head coach Marvin Lewis. And Marvin Lewis is an African-American, and he seems to think that there is not currently enough African-American representation in the head coaching in the NFL.
Why is there, in your opinion, why is there only three African-American head coaches in the NFL?
Well, I really think it's a problem that, I spent some time in Indy. The NFL had a little bit of a conference on this, and back in February, March, end of February, 1st of March, and spent time with some people there, and they were discussing it. It was a problem we talked about from the bottom up and from the top down. The decision makers that way, whether it be GMs, et cetera, are going to kind of favor people they know that way, and they don't know the minority coaches as well. And I think that's the one thing, and the same thing from the top up, generating more opportunities from young minority coaches to continue to move and do things. A lot of times what I've heard from people that I know that are very good coaches, well, we're going to go this direction because even though you're the coordinator, you're not the play caller. Mm. And yet that doesn't seem, the rules seem to change in other instances. So that's another issue that things seem to change from time to time that way with what the qualifications supposedly are. But if we can just keep the somehow open the process a bit more and provide more opportunity, because right now we've got some qualified coaches. I heard from a very prominent collegiate coach who's afraid to take the process. He's afraid to take the leap. And that, to me, says a mouthful about things.
Marvin Lewis there on African-American coaches, minority coaches in the NFL. The NFL established the Rooney Rule that states if you have a head coaching vacancy, you have to interview at least one minority candidate. But as you heard there from Coach Lewis's mouth, there are only three African-American candidates currently coaching at the head coaching level in the NFL. Up for the debate, is the Rooney Rule working correctly? Who knows? I'm not the one to pick that one. But let's look at this weekend's divisional matchups round. We have Minnesota against San Francisco, Tennessee going against Baltimore, Houston going against Kansas City, and Seattle going against Green Bay. 2 weeks ago, Marshawn Lynch was sitting on his couch putting together football youth camps, and then he gets a head coach from his old pal Pete Carroll saying, hey, we could use your help in the backfield. Beast Mode gets signed in the last week of the regular season. He played his last season last year with the Oakland Raiders. Hasn't played a lick of football this whole entire this year. Comes off the couch, joins the backfield, scores a touchdown in his first game, plows through in the end zone in the wild card game, and goodness gracious, doesn't Marshawn Lynch give a great interview?
I'm just about that action, boss.
All right, how about the effort of the offensive line to keep pushing against the defense that attacks so aggressively?
Yeah.
Anything else other than yeah today?
Yeah.
Hold on one second.
Yeah. 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 Maybe. I don't know.
How you feeling?
Yeah.
Still having fun, Marshawn?
Yeah.
What was your song of the day?
No Juice. Thanks for asking.
What's that?
I said thanks for asking. Appreciate it. Thanks for asking. I appreciate you asking about my stomach. Thank you.
Y'all want to try again, huh? So y'all going to try again? That's what we're going to do. We're going to try one more time. I'm thankful.
Talk about your performance in the second half, the big run.
I'm thankful.
What was the song of the day on the way to the game, Marshawn?
I'm thankful.
Hey, I'm just here so I don't get fined. So y'all can sit here and ask me all the questions y'all want to. I'm going to answer with the same answer, so y'all can shoot if y'all please. I'm here so I won't get fined. I'm here so I won't get fined. I'm here so I won't get fined.
Well, certainly a great man on the podium, isn't he, Mark Archer? Marshawn Lynch, what he brings to the post-game press conferences.
Yeah, it doesn't make it too exciting for the media, but obviously he's got a grudge to bear with the written media. But interesting bringing him into that Seattle lineup early on. I'm looking at it, Ross. Eight teams left in the NFL come playoffs now. I'm finding it really hard to pick a winner. I think Baltimore, for me, are probably the standout team left, best record in the regular season. But could go any which way. It's really tough to call this year.
Yeah, it is. You're exactly right, Mark Archer. There's no odds-on favorite when you look at these teams. Any of these teams can beat the other one. And, you know, one of these surprising teams are the Tennessee Titans. Heavy underdogs going against, you know, the David versus Goliath type of thing, going against Tom Brady, the guy who has six Super Bowl championships, the guy that's reigning Super Bowl champion, going against his former player in Mike Vrabel, who's now the head coach down in Tennessee, and Tennessee gets it done. Tennessee's going to Baltimore this week. Baltimore's only dropped two games this year, but however, Tennessee has this momentum on their side right now. They're coming off the wild card game. Baltimore rested their starters the last week of the season, and then they had a week off, so it's been a while since they played some football. But maybe the Tennessee have another miracle up their sleeve, because this is the 20th anniversary today of the Music City Miracle.
Have a miracle left in them in what has been a magical season to this point. If they do, they need it now. Christie kicks it high and short. Going to be fielded by Lorenzo Neal at the 25.
Yeah,
pitches it back to Wycheck. He throws it across the field to Dyson.
He's got something. 30, he's 40, got something.
50.
He's got it.
40,
he's got
30,
it.
20. 10.
He's got
5,
it.
End zone. Touchdown, Titans. There are no flags on the field. It's a miracle. Tennessee has pulled a miracle.
20th anniversary of the Music City Miracle right there. If you want to catch that Tennessee-Baltimore game, tune in Sunday, 5:15 in the morning. Tennessee will be heading to Maryland to take on the Ravens.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.